ஓம் ஹரி ஓம் தத் சத் ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நமஹ. ஹரி ஓம். ஓம் சதா சிவ சமாரம்பாம் வ்யாஸ சங்கர மத்யமாம் நவிதுசுரா சுரகணாஹ தேவாய தஸ்மை நமஹ. ஓம் ஸ்ரீ பரமாத்மனே நமஹ. அக்ஷர ப்ரஹ்ம யோகோ நாம அஷ்டமோத்யாயஹ. ஓம் ஸ்ரீ பரமாத்மனே நமஹ. I'm reading from the 8th verse, 6th verse. யம் யம் வாபி ஸ்மரன் பாவம் த்யஜத்யந்தே கலேவரம் தம் தமேவைதி கௌந்தேய சதா தத்பாவ பாவிதஹ தஸ்மாத் சர்வேஷு காலேஷு மாமனுஸ்மர யுத்யச மய்யர்ப்பித மனோ புத்திஹி மாமே வைஷ்யஸ்ய சம்சயஹ. அப்யாஸ யோக யுக்தேன சேதசா நான்யகாமினா பரமம் புருஷம் திவ்யம் யாதி பார்த்தானு சிந்தயன். கவிம் புராணமனுஷாசிதாரம் அனோரணீயாம் சமனுஸ்மரேத்யஹ சர்வஸ்ய தாதாரமசிந்த்ய ரூபம் ஆதித்ய வர்ணம் தமஸ பரஸ்தாத். பிரயாண காலே மனசாச்சலேன பக்த்யா யுக்தோ யோக பலேன சைவ ப்ருவோர் மத்யே பிராணமாவேஷ்ய சம்யக் சதம் பரம் புருஷமுபைதி திவ்யம். பிரயாண காலே the 9th and 10th we'll read together again. Long this meter of this verse is trishtup, long meter, not anushtup, trishtup meter. Kavim puranam anushasitaram anoraniyam samanusmaredyah sarvasya dhataram achintya roopam ஆதித்ய வர்ணம் தமஸ பரஸ்தாத். பிரயாண காலே மனசாச்சலேன பக்த்யா யுக்தோ யோக பலேன சைவ ப்ருவோர் மத்யே பிராணமாவேஷ்ய சம்யக் சதம் பரம் புருஷமுபைதி திவ்யம். பிரயாண காலே மனசாச்சலேன பக்த்யா யுக்தோ யோக பலேன சைவ ப்ருவோர் மத்யே பிராணமாவேஷ்ய சம்யக் சதம் பரம் புருஷமுபைதி திவ்யம். ஓகே, டு ஸ்டார்ட் ஃப்ரம் திஸ் வேர்ஸ் வில் கோ டு 9th வேர்ஸ் ஆல்சோ. சி, உபைதி, உபைதி is the verb there. Upayeti upayiti. Upa plus eti upayiti. So what does that word upayiti? Upayiti is a verb which means attains, reaches. Attains or reaches. And whom does one reach? You can say devotee reaches. Okay, saha upayiti. Saha upaiti means that person attains, that person reaches. Saha upaiti, that person attains whom? Whom does that person, whom that does the devotee attain? Saha tam upaiti, he reaches him. He reaches him mean the two pronouns here. Whom does the he mean? He means the devotee, him means the Lord. Saha tam upaiti. So the devotee attains the Lord. Okay, and which sort of Lord does he attain? In the description. Divyam purusham upaiti. Divyam purusham upaiti. Tam divyam purusham upaiti. He attains the Lord. Who is that Lord? Param purusham. Purushaha, here is the Lord. I already explained to you. The word Purushaha is one of the names used to mean the Lord because of the nature of all pervasiveness and filling everything. So one attains, this devotee attains that exalted absolute Lord, Param Purusham Upaiti. And also Divyam, the Lord who is, Divyam means divine, and the divinity always implies the effulgence. When you say something is divine, what does it mean divine? Divine, divya, the word div stands for effulgence. Div. So in English word divine, really if you ask what is divine, something auspicious you can say. But actually the word div, the root div means effulgence. So divyam param purusham upaiti. Tam divyam param purusham upaiti. This devotee attains the Lord, who is the most exalted and who is of the nature of effulgence, who is of the nature of knowledge. So we do not know the Lord, we have to understand the Lord, but we know 100% there is Lord because we infer from our own understanding the universe is, there must be the Lord. And second thing, you know, we do not know who the Lord is, how the Lord is. The scripture also tells we also accept that the Lord, Ishwaraha is. But that Lord, if you understand how the Lord is, essentially of the nature of knowledge, and when you dwell upon that Lord Swarupam as your own Swarupam, it is contemplation. But you do not know what effulgence means, what consciousness means, so you do not know, but you simply understand the meaning of the word. You, without knowing what effulgence means, you simply use the term, it becomes the Ishwara's attribute. If you understand the meaning of the word, implying the Lord, it is your own Swarupam. If you do not understand the meaning of the word, implying the nature of the Lord, it is an attribute of the Lord. Okay, how should you take it? How to understand now? What is Ishwara's attribute? What is taken to be Ishwara's Gunaha? Kalyana Gunaha. The auspicious attribute of the Lord, and how should take it as the nature of the Lord. If you understand the meaning of the word, every word revealing the essential nature of the Lord, then it is your own Swarupam. If you do not understand the meaning of the word, then it is, you take it as an attribute of Ishwara. When you meditate upon Ishwara's attribute, then it is meditation. If you meditate upon Ishwara's Swarupam, it is contemplation. Okay, Swarupa Anusandhanam is contemplation. Meditation upon the attribute is, dwelling upon the attribute is meditation. That is the difference you should remember. So here, I told you already, we are not discussing the contemplation at all. Here we are only discussing the meditation, the topic of meditation. Again, meditation, how to, without knowing the nature of the Lord, how can I meditate upon the Lord? The lots of words used in the Puranas which describe, which present those words as Lord's, describing the Lord's attributes. So here the person, the one who meditates upon the Lord, one who worships the Lord, who is exalted, Paraha Purushaha, exalted Lord, then who is also of the nature of effulgence, who is divine, divyam param purusham tam, you know, saha upaiti, he attains that Lord. Okay, saha bhaktaha tam divyam param purusham upaiti. But when does he attain? Kada upaiti, you know, how does he attain, how does he reach? He says, Yoga Balena. No, by the power of his own meditation. Yoga Bala means by the power of meditation. So meditating upon the attributes of the Lord, you can say it is very easy. I tell you, without distraction, with the focused attention, even if it is not the Swarupam, dwelling upon constantly without any form. There's no form here. You're just repeatedly think of the Lord is all pervasive. Lord Ishvara is almighty. Ishvara is omniscient. Ishvara is omnipotent. You do not know how omnipotent Lord is, how omniscient Lord is. You do not know how. But you simply meditate upon those meaning, those words, understanding the meaning of those words as attributes of the Lord. Then constantly dwelling upon Ishvara's attributes also blesses one with certain degree of power. That's called Yoga Balam. Yoga Balam means power, capacity, some capability, some strength gained as a result of meditation upon the Lord. Yoga Balena. So this devotee attains that absolute, exalted Lord, the effulgent Lord, by the strength or the power of meditation yoga. Okay. Now, not only that, achalena manasa. Achalena manasa. How does he get that? Achalam manaha. Chalam manaha means disturbed mind. Distracted mind is chalam manaha. Achalam manaha is undisturbed, distraction-free mind. So with a distraction-free, undisturbed mind, and here, not only he is simply distraction-free, undisturbed minded, bhaktyacha yuktaha. Bhaktya yuktaha, because he is endowed with the devotion also. Whenever, without knowing the Ishvara's Swarupam, just understanding the meaning of these words as Ishvara's attributes, the person constantly dwells upon the Lord, and then that blesses him with the given strength, degree of strength, power, and he is just focused. He's not distraction-free minded. So achalena manasa. Not only that, he is, bhaktya yuktaha. See, there's a constant urge in the person. Oh Lord, I do not, he doesn't know the Swarupam. I want, please bless me with thy vision. If there's a prayer is for the knowledge of the Lord, I want to know your Swarupam. I want to know your Swarupam. I want to know your Swarupam. So I'm simply with this desire to know the Lord, bhaktya yuktaha. With the desire to know, understand the Lord, it's called being endowed with the devotion, with the real devotion of wanting to know the Lord, being endowed with the devotion and with a distraction-free focused mind, with the power, by the power of his meditation, yoga, and this person, what does he do? Bruvoho madhye pranam avesha samyak. Look at this. Bruvoho madhye pranam avesha. Okay, bruvoho madhye pranam avesha. So having pranam avesha means having brought the prana between the eyebrows. Bruvoho madhye, between the eyebrows. I brought the prana between the eyebrows. So here, pranam avesha samyak. So I brought the prana in the middle of, between the eyebrows. Bruvoho madhye, pranam avesha. When does he bring the prana? When does he bring the prana between the eyebrows? See, to bring the prana between the eyebrows, you must have some strength. Otherwise, you can't bring the prana between the eyebrows. Bring the prana between the eyebrows means what? That you cannot understand. Unless you practice meditation, you know how to bring it, you will not know how to bring the prana between the eyebrows. Therefore, bring the prana between the eyebrows. How does he bring? Because of his power of meditation. Okay? You should listen, baby. Because of the power of his meditation and the distraction-free mind, he attains. But when does he bring the prana between the eyebrows? Prayana kale, at the time of death. At the time of departure. Prayana means departure. At the time of departure, leaving the body, the time of death, the time of the departure of the mind from the prana, the body. Prayana kale, achalena manasa, bhaktya yuktaha, yoga balena chayeva, pranam samyak bruvoho madhye aveshya. Pranam bruvoho madhye aveshya. Then what happened? Saha, tam paramam purusham upaiti. So this tells, so paramam purusham upaiti, he attains the Lord. How can he attain the Lord? So he can attain the Lord because Lord is already his own sarupam. Means, he attains the Lord here, means he attains the subtle status. It means, attains Hiranyagarbha. Which means, he is one with Ishvara. Unfortunately, he does not know he is one with Ishvara because Ajnanam is still there. Even though he practices upon the attributes of the Lord, and then constantly, continuously, with the distraction-free mind, and he also, thereby he is also blessed with the power of yoga, so he is able to bring the prana between the eyebrows, time of death, but still what has not happened? He is still ignorant. Still he isolates himself from the Lord. He does not still see for him Lord is different from him, the one who is endowed with all these attributes. He does not know essential nature of the Lord, does not know his own sorupam. Lord being your self, he does not know. Still ignorance is there. Therefore, he attains the Lord means he attains Hiranyagarbha status. He attains Brahma Loka. Who attains here? Again, the mind only. Okay, Atma doesn't attain. That's what he said. And from Brahma Loka, he will have Sarupa Jnanam. Thereby he attain Moksha and that is called Krama Muktihi. The Krama Muktihi, Shastram talks about it. We understand it. We accept it because we have Shraddha in Shastram. But we do not question. We cannot explain. We can understand more than that because nobody has gone to Brahma Loka, attained Moksha, has come back and told us. So Shastram tells we accept it. Okay, Krama Muktihi is possible. Why Krama Muktihi? Sadyo Muktihi means your person attains Moksha here itself. It is Sadyo Muktihi. Sadyo Muktihi, what you need is Jnanam. Jnanam. For that Jnanam, Shravanam is, you need Shravanam. Once you do Shravanam, you will know Ishvara Swarupam. You will know the meaning of each word as your own Swarupam, which is Ishvara Swarupam. It is not Ishvara's attribute. What is Ishvara's attribute for an ordinary devotee? Not ordinary, sorry, I should not use the word ordinary. Any devotee is great. What is an attribute for another devotee or a meditator? He must is being a swarupam for a contemplator. The person who contemplates. Therefore, he meditates, but ajnanam is still there. Therefore, he can only what? Shastram says, after the death, this person does not, when you say he attains Brahma Loka, he attains the Lord, means he does not attain the physical, assume the physical body again. Then remaining in subtle form, there from continues to be, the mind will be continuous like how in dream you're able to see things. There'll be, then from there onwards, he attain Jnanam, he attain Mokshaha, which is called a Krama Muktihi. Okay, remaining in subtle form, without assuming the form gross body, again becoming having the vision of the truth, and there he attains jnanam, attains moksha, that is krama muktihi. So here krama muktihi is mentioned here, and for which to attain krama muktihi, you know, first of all to go to the he re, attaining the Lord, and for which he must leave the at the time of departure, he must leave, bring the prana to the prana in between the eyebrows, and for which he needs a meditation power, and he is also he must be focus attention, must have focus attention, and his interest, he must be interested in at understanding Bhagavan. So without having desire to know the Bhagavan, simply a person practices meditation. I want occult powers. I want to become somebody big. I want to have supernatural powers. I want to have siddhis. I want to rule the, you know, I want to be more powerful than other human beings. The person practices, so still material ends. Then he may be blessed with 10 siddhi saktis, but he may not go to, he may not attain the Lord. Still moksha is not possible. There are many people, even now you can see, who are given to serious meditation practices, hang around in North, the Rishikesh areas, and who still want siddhi saktis, siddhis. Why? They can be more powerful than other human beings. Simply for being more powerful than other human beings, they want, but it was great effort, not an easy joke. To get any extraordinary powers, one must work very, very hard. So people are still there, people who are still interested in those ordinary ends. But Bhagavan, that's why he says, Bhaktya Yuktaha. The one who is endowed with the devotion to the Lord, that I want to know the Lord, such a person who is not capable of, or somehow who has not understood Ishvara Swarupam here, who still sees the meaning of, he sees all these meaning of these words as Ishvara's attributes, meditates upon that Lord throughout with the focus attention, distraction free mind, and he is able to bring his prana in between eyebrows, time of departure, and he attains that Lord. Which means, attaining the Lord means, without assuming a human physical form, without assuming any physical form, he remains in subtle form for length of time, and there, he attains, he has a Swarupa Jnanam. How does it have attained? What happens? And all we can't explain, because it's all to be understood as Shastram tells. And he attains moksha, which is called Krama Muktihi. Okay. Such a person, what are all the attributes he meditates upon? We say some attributes of the Lord are given in the 9th verse. We'll see that again. Come back to 9th verse now. Kavim. So this person, meditates upon the Lord. What are all the, she is, so anusmarati, yeah, anusmarit. So the devotee who dwells upon Ishvara's, Bhagavan's attributes, yaha anusmarit, saha tam param purusham, paramam purusham upaiti. So one who meditates upon Ishvara's attributes, and he attains the Lord at the time of death. Okay, how does he attain, etc. We have already seen. And now he says, what are all the attributes? Kavihi, Puranaha. See, each and every word is the name of the Lord. Kavihi, Puranaha, Anushasita, Anoho Aniyan. 4. Kavihi, Puranaha, Anushasita, Anor Aniyan, Anoho Aniyan, Sarvasya Dhata, Achintya Rupaha, Aditya Varanaha, Tamasav Parastat. There are 8 words are there. 8 attributes are given. So Kavihi means the Lord is omniscient. Kavihi. All knowing. Sarvajnaha. This only seer of everything. Kavihi means the only seer of everything. The only knower of everything. The all knowing. Omniscient is called Kavihi. In Puranaha, Puranaha means what? Beginningless, endless. Puranaha. Anushasita. Anushasita means the governor, one who governs everything. The order of roots of actions, Anushasita. Then Anoho Aniyan. Anoho Aniyan. Anoho Aniyan is the nominative case. Anor Aniyam Sam is the second objective case. Anoho Aniyan means, Anu means subtle, subtler than the subtle. Subtler than the subtle. Then, Sarvasya Dhata, the sustainer of all, the protector of all. Then, Achintya Rupaha, inconceivable, inconceivable, incomprehensible, Achintya Rupaha, unimaginable. Then, Aditya Varnaha, the one who is as effulgent as the sun. And Tamasaha Parastat, one who is distinct from ignorance. The Lord who is distinct from ignorance, one who is beyond ignorance, who is as effulgent as the sun, and who is all-knowing, who is the order of everything. Like this, these are all the attributes of the Lord. For a person who wants to contemplate upon Ishvara, he must see, he must know the meaning of each word. How Lord is omniscient. How he is subtler than the subtlest. For which we need Shravanam, Vedanta Shravanam. Okay. Now, so it what is said, one who meditates upon the Lord, Anusmarate, that person, how does he meditate upon? Bhaktyayuktaha, Achalena Manasa. One who meditates upon the Lord's attributes in this manner, with the focus attention, with any distraction, with the distraction, that person definitely attains the Lord. And that means attaining the Lord, not being born again without assuming a gross form, without being born again, the person remaining in subtle form is what? Attaining the Lord. And from there onwards, the person attains jnanam, then he attains mokshaha, which is called Krama Muktihi. Okay. But even attaining this Lord is not an easy joke. Okay. It is not easy. Even meditating upon the Lord is not an easy thing. Attaining the Lord is not an easy joke at all. It involves much greater effort than contemplating upon one's own Swarupam in this Janma. Attaining jnanam in this life is easier than attaining jnanam later, as attaining kramamuktihi involves much more efforts than attaining sadhyamuktihi. Attaining sadhyamuktihi involves much greater effort, but imagine attaining kramamuktihi involves much, much, much greater effort. Just tells, which means the important thing is he must be a bhaktaha, he must be endowed with the devotion. I want to know the Lord. If that burning urge to understand Bhagavan is there, that is real devotion. Then he will definitely attain. So you see all the qualifications. So we don't need to ask questions. Why I'm not able to attain God? Why I'm not able to see the God? Am I distraction free minded? You have to ask these questions. Am I able to focus all the time? Am I genuinely asking only for jnanam always? If you have all the qualifications, definitely you also can attain the Lord. Okay, we'll go to next verse now. Now I'm glad I could make it very clear in this chapter that the difference between meditating upon Ishvara's attributes and meditating upon Ishvara's Swarupam. Is it clear now? What is meditation upon Swarupam? To know the Swarupam of Ishvara, to dwell upon Ishvara Swarupam, you must do Shravanam, Vedanta Shravanam properly. Then you understand Ishvara Swarupam as your own Swarupam. That's the only way of understanding. Otherwise, all the words are only attributes only. Okay, we'll need the next verse. Yadaksharam Veda Vidovadanti. Yadaksharam Veda Vidovadanti. विशन्ति यद्यतयो वीतरागाः विशन्ति यद्यतयो वीतरागाः यदिच्छन्तो ब्रह्मचर्यं चरन्ति यदिच्छन्तो ब्रह्मचर्यं चरन्ति तत्ते पदं संग्रहेण प्रवक्ष्ये यदक्षरं वेदविदो वदन्ति विशन्ति यद्यतयो वीतरागाः यदिच्छन्तो ब्रह्मचर्यं चरन्ति तत्ते पदं संग्रहेण प्रवक्ष्ये यद्यदक्षरं वेदविदो वदन्ति विशन्ति यद्यतयो वीतरागाः यदिच्छन्तो ब्रह्मचर्यं चरन्ति तत्ते पदं संग्रहेण प्रवक्ष्ये. So Bhagavan says here, Sangraheena Pravakshye. Pravakshye means, I shall tell you. Arjuna, I shall tell you. Pravakshye, I shall tell you. What shall I tell you here? How shall I tell you? Not very elaborately, but Sangraheena. I can tell you. I'll explain to you briefly. What is that? I'll speak to you briefly about the Lord. And who is the Lord? Lord is the absolute end. Lord is the absolute end. Lord is the ultimate goal. Lord is the everlasting, imperishable, indestructible, absolute goal. Bhagavan is our absolute goal. That is why Ishvara be absolute goal. Even in Thirukkural, the first verse, it says, you know, that knowing the Lord is the absolute goal. So, what is that Padam? He says, Lord is mentioned by the word here, Padam. Padam. Padam means absolute end, ultimate end. Here, what is ultimate end? Ish Bhagavan is the ultimate. Sangra. No, so that he says, Tat Padam Te Aham Sangrahena Pravakshe. I shall explain to you briefly that absolute ultimate end, the indestructible end. And that is that end. Veda vidaha aksharam padam tad aksharam padam sangrahena pravakshye. It is that absolute end about whom veda vidaha vadanti, about whom even veda vidaha vadanti, people who know the veda shastram, who have profound knowledge of the Vedas are called here veda vidaha. So all those people who studied the Veda, who understood the Veda, who have profound knowledge of the Veda, all of them, after studying the Veda Shastram thoroughly, they speak. What do they speak? They speak about this Bhagavan as the ultimate, imperishable, indestructible goal. Veda Vidaha Vadanti. So after studying the Shastram, they convince, they confirm, attainment of Bhagavan is the absolute goal. Attainment of Bhagavan means attainment of knowledge of Bhagavan is the ultimate goal. So Veda Vidaha Vadanti. Then Yatayaha Vitaragaha Yatayaha Vishanti. Okay. Yatayaha Vitaragaha Yatayaha Vishanti. Even the Vitaragaha means highly dispassionate. No, vitaha, vigataha, ragaha, yebhyaha, te vitaragaha. Those people from whom all the passion has gone for good, they're called vitaragaha. The dispassionate people. Vitaragaha, very dispassionate people. And dispassionate people also, yatayaha. Yatihi means sannyasi here. So, people who are highly mature, who understood the limitations of the world, understood the limitations of arthakama dharmas, thereby who have lived their lives properly, enjoyed everything, understood the limitations of arthakama dharmas, therefore who know the value of jnanam and moksha, who are committed to the pursuit of jnanam, even such sannyas, who are given to life of sannyasa, such highly dispassionate sannyasis also, finally, studying the Veda, finally, whom do they enter into? What do they enter? What do they attain? Okay. It is this absolute end, ultimate goal in terms of Bhagavan. Vedic scholars speak about, it is this absolute goal, ultimate end. Even the sannyasis, dispassionate sannyasis finally attain. Veda Vidaha, Yatayaha, Vitaragaha, Yatayaha, Vishanti. Then, Yadichantaha, Brahmacharyam, Charanti. Yadichantaha. And in order to, desiring, in order to, with the desire to attain this end, absolute end in terms of Bhagavan alone, people even live a life of celibacy. They attain, they live a, they follow the life of Naishtika Brahmacharyam. No, people give why Naishtika, live a life of Naishtika Brahmacharyam, not for anything else. They, people take life of Naishtika Brahmacharyam means only ultimately to attain, accomplish this end only. Therefore, Yadichantaha Brahmacharyam Charanti, and it is this absolute end I'm going to tell you briefly. So Bhagavan has yet to say briefly about the ultimate end called Bhagavan. Here we don't use the word moksha in this context. Why? Moksha is the ultimate end, and that moksha is Bhagavan himself. Bhagavan, the Lord, and moksha are not two different things here. So happiness, jnanam, Ishwaraha, moksha are all synonyms here. So, Bhagavan says, I am going to tell you briefly about the absolute end in terms of Bhagavan. It is this Bhagavan, the absolute end, all these people, Vedic scholars talk about. It is this absolute end called Bhagavan, even the sannyasis, dispassionate sannyasis finally reach. It is this Bhagavan, in order to attain whom, the desire to attain this Lord, even these other people who live a life of Brahmacharyam, Naishka Brahmacharyam, to accomplish Bhagavan as an end. And that end I'm going to talk about, which means Bhagavan, before even he starts talking about the absolute end in terms of Bhagavan, he really talks about very high. See, I'm going to talk to you about the absolute end called Bhagavan, and now which you can, now you know, when he says, Veda Vidaha Vadanti, Yatayaha Vishanti, no, Vitaragaha Yatayaha Vishanti, Ichan Brahmacharyam Charanti, you know, people make so much of effort to accomplish this end, means understand how exalted that end is. I'm going to tell you briefly about it. See, before even Bhagavan talks about the absolute end, he really glorifies the end itself in this verse. You know why? Only then we will be into what is that absolute end. Bhagavan is going to talk about briefly. So let me know about it. Because he says, Veda Vidaha Vadanti, Vitaragaha Yatyaha Vishanti, Brahmacharyam Charantaha, Charanti, in order to Ichantaha. So in order to accomplish that end, people make so much of efforts, which means what is that end? You know, therefore we will be interested. Just to create, it is, you know, it is like always we should talk very, very highly of things. If, no, not simply, not simple exaggeration. We genuinely talk about the greatness of something, and in order, if you really want to make a person, pursue it. So Bhagavan also does the same thing here. He has not yet talked about what I'm going to tell you briefly, he says, but before even telling briefly, he says how great that absolute end is. Okay. He says, Arjuna, I shall briefly explain to you that imperishable, indestructible, absolute end, which all the people who know the Vedas talk about, even the sannyasis, highly dispassionate, attain. It is this absolute end, desiring which even people live a life of Naitik Brahmacharyam. Okay. Let me go next verse now. Sarva dvarani sayamya. Sarva dvarani sayamya. Manohridi niruddhyacha. Manohridi niruddhyacha. Murdhnyadhayatmanav pranam. Astito yoga dharanam sarvadvarani sayamya manohridi niruddhyacha murdhnya dhayatmanav pranam astito yoga dharanam. Repeat it. Sarvadvarani sayamya manohridi niruddhyacha murdhnya dhayatmanav pranam astito yoga dharanam. So here sarvadvarani sanyamya. Dwaram in this context means indriyam. Amazing. Dwaram, see the beauty of the word. Dwaram means hole. H-O-L-E. No, entrance. Dwaram means entrance. Dwaram means hole. And here each sense power, sarva indriyam, is said to be a dwaram. You know why? Entrance. Through which the sense objects enter into the mind. Why an indriyam? The power of knowing, the power of instrument of knowledge is said to be dwaram. Because through each sense power, the object enters. The light, object called light, the forms, names and colors, the forms, shapes and colors, they enter, which reflect the light, enter the mind through the power, the sense power of seeing. The sound enters the mind, into the mind through the power of hearing. So the smell enters to the mind, into the mind through the power of smelling. Like that. So the taste enters to the mind, power of tasting. So all the sense objects enter into the mind means the knowledge of the external objects is possible. The knowledge of the external objects is possible because are the sense powers. Therefore, sense powers are only through the sense powers objects can reach the mind. Therefore, objects also enter into the mind. Therefore, each sense power is called dwaram. Now, sarva dwarani sanyamya means sarva indriyani sanyamya. Sarva dwarani sanyamya means sarva indriyani sanyamya. Means having restrained, having withdrawn, having restrained, having mastery over all the sense powers. Sarva dvarani sanyamya. See, it is very important for a person who wants to meditate. If your sense powers are all over with their own objects, and the sense powers will report their objects. And the more objects reach the mind, the more attention will be distracted, grabbed and dragged by the objects. If attention is dragged by the objects, then you cannot focus on your object or meditation. So, in order to prevent the distraction of the attention, to be focused, so first of all, you prevent the sense powers reporting their objects. Well, what do we do? So restraining. So having mastery over or having restrained the sense powers, which are the entrances for the objects to enter into the mind, thereby avoiding the distraction. Then, sarva dwarani sanyamya. Then, manaha hridi nirudhyacha. Hridi. Nirudhya. Manaha nirudhya. Manaha nirudhya. So, having confined. Nirudhya means not controlling here. Having confined the mind to the heart. Hridi nirudhya. We may not know. Having your attention of the mind focused in the very mind itself. Manaha hridi nirudhyacha. Murdhnya atmanaha pranam adhaya. Prana atmanaha pranam means one's own prana. Atmanaha in this context means one's own. Atmanaha pranam, anyasya pranam. So atmanaha pranam, so pranam. Atmanaha pranam here means swa pranam, swasya pranam. You cannot bring other's prana, okay? Only your own prana. So swasya pranam, atmanaha pranam, one's own prana, murdhini adhaya, murdhini cha adhaya. So having one's own prana, murdhini adhaya, having fixed one's prana, adhaya means having fixed. Adadhati means having placed. Having placed or having fixed one's prana on the top of the head. Murdhini. Murdhini, the top of the head. Asthitaha yogadharanam. Yogadharanam asthitaha. Then yoga dharana means what? One should asthitaha means may one be given to or take to meditation. Yoga dharana here means may one take to meditation. Yoga dharana here means focusing one's attention on an object of meditation is called yoga dharana. Yet may one begin to meditate. May one take yogic focus. May one have yogic focus. May one begin his meditation. How is meditation here? It's all said here. So sarvadvarani sanyamya manaha hridi nirudhya atmanaha pranam murdhini adhaya may one begin one's, you know, yogic, may one take to a yogic focus or meditate, begin one's meditation, yogic concentration. So what all things now? What we should do with sense organs? What we should do with the mind? What should we do with the prana? So dharva dwarani sanyamya. So having restrained all the sense organs. Then manaha hridi nirudhya. So having confined one's mind to the heart. Means having the mind in the mind itself. Not allowing it to go anywhere. Then bringing, also having placed one's prana on the top of the head. So what does it mean, placing one's prana on the top of the head? Not top of the head actually. Means the focus must be there. then one should begin one's meditation. This is different, it is said here. I'll explain this literal meaning afterwards. See, when we understand firstly, let me explain to you here, this is literal meaning afterwards. How one should begin one's yogic focus. How one should take to yogic focus. Why he must do all these things. See, first of all, restraining the sense organs itself is difficult. Then placing the mind only in mind, it's another difficulty. And placing the prana on the top of the head means what? Not really physically, you're not doing anything here. It's all absolutely no mental, nothing to do with the physical. Physically, you can't pull anything anywhere. Again, focus, fixing the prana top of the head means focus attention on the prana also. So what is it said here? Bhagwan said he's going to talk about the highest goal briefly, but he's introducing something else. What is it he's saying? Let me make it very clear. See, when we talk about Ishvara, Bhagawan, always, and Bhagawan has been said to be what? Bhagawan is the whole, Bhagawan is almighty, Bhagawan is omnipotent, Bhagawan is omnipresent, Bhagawan is all pervasive, Bhagawan is all forms are Bhagawan, Bhagawan has actually is the nature of formlessness. This is how we understand Bhagawan in the very beginning. Bhagawan is the nature of formlessness. Even though we worship Bhagawan in many different forms, we do understand the fact, we do know Bhagawan is not just this one form that I'm worshipping. Bhagawan is all the forms are Bhagawan. We don't know how Bhagawan is all the forms are Bhagawan, we do not know. But we, however, we say everything is Bhagawan. And Bhagawan essentially has the nature of formlessness. But even though we say we have this understanding, but still it is very, very, it's not easy to conceive, it's not at all easy to think of the Bhagawan who is formless. It is very difficult to think of Bhagawan who is formless. Therefore, our Puranas, actually our scriptural literature, other literature, describe Bhagawan having a concrete form. Scriptures themselves describe for present for us a concrete alambanam, support, a symbol. For what? In order to visualize the formless, in order to visualize the all-pervasive, formless, only Lord, our scriptures themselves present a concrete alambanam, a symbol. And this, and the alambanam means a support, a symbol, which a representative, a symbol which is used to visualize the Lord, formless Lord, any given object, which is used in order to visualize the formless Lord as a support is called alambanam. The alambanam. And it is a very strong, concrete support. And which is a tangible form which symbolizes the most intangible nature of the Lord, most intangible late Lord. If Bhagawan is our object of meditation, what I should meditate upon is Ishvara, Bhagawan. And that Bhagawan is what? Formless, all pervasive, the most intangible Bhagawan is here invoked upon the tangible form, which is in a given locus. And it is just called alambanam. And this alambanam, I said already, If Alambanam has, if this Alambanam, which is the symbol, which symbolizes the Lord, the whole, has limbs, it is called Pratima. Alambanam having limbs is called Pratima. Like Subramanya, Ganesha, etc. having limbs is called Pratima. The same Alambanam does not have limbs, it is called Pratika. A limbless form is called Pratika. Limb form with the limb is called Pratima. We have Pratima Upasanam, we have Pratika Upasanam. We have both. Meditate upon Pratima, meditate upon Pratika also. Anyway, let me tell you. So we have Pratima and Pratika. And here, why I'm talking about, let me tell you before going to the actual meaning of the verse. And not only this, sometimes we take the Pratimas, every Pratima, every form of the Lord, which you worship as Alambanam, as symbol, and all the Lord's gods are having more hands also, not just two hands, having many hands, and the hands having many weapons, the different ways of presentation of the murtis, the forms. Sometimes even we can have simple pratikas which have no limbs. And now we have this Om also as Alambanam. And the Om is what actually? Pratika, because it's a sound symbol. So Om also can be used as an Alambanam to visualize the Lord, the whole. We have meditation upon Omkaraha. So we have Omkara Upasanam is a Pratika Upasanam. We have other Upasanas. So many Upanishads talk about this Omkara Upasanams. In Bhagavan Krishna himself talks about the Omkara Upasanam. We'll see that later on. And here, the question may arise, should I practice this Omkara Upasanam which Bhagavan Krishna talks about or Upanishads talk about? The question comes, I tell you, no, it is not at all compulsory for anyone that everyone should do Upasanam. That is not there. It is not compulsory. So this Pratika Upasanam, Pratimo Upasanam is not compulsory for all the people. If somebody wants to do it, it is one's own choice. One can choose to meditate upon the Lord in Pratima. You choose to meditate upon the Lord in Pratika. One doesn't need to meditate at all. Upasanam is not compulsory for everyone. Meditation is not compulsory for everyone. See, what are all the benefits of meditation? What are limitations of meditation? That's a different teaching. That is okay. You know, that's a different thing. What all I can gain by practicing meditation? There's lots of benefits also are there. So people who want those benefits, if you know what all the benefits you can have by practicing meditation, you can definitely practice those meditation. You can aspire for those benefits. Time-bound benefits. Otherwise, it is not compulsory. But for a person who has Purusharthanischaya and who knows the jnanam is mokshaha, such a person can these directly be given to the Shravanam. Shravanam, so Karma Yoga lifestyle, living life of Dharma, and the Shravanam, which will bless him with the clarity, understanding of the Swarupam of Ishvara, and which he can dwell upon, which is contemplation. In due course of time, he can assimilate, ascertain, and he can have Sadhyo Muktihi, Jivan Muktihi, while living this life here itself. So, that is why in Vedantic, people who teach Vedanta Shastram will never give importance, not that we don't undermine meditation. Meditation is very important, but it's not compulsory. You can skip meditation, you can do Shravanam, and repeatedly do Shravanam, and understand the teaching, and understand the value of Dharma, living Dharma, be given to study of the scripture, you will, the same class gradually will become contemplation, the shravanam, repeated shravanam, repeated shravanam will become contemplation. The class itself, we must be in contemplation. You know, it will become meditation. And once you understand the teaching, you will always be in meditation. People ask sometimes, do you practice meditation? I do tell them, I'm always in meditation. If I tell people, how will people understand? I'm also involved myself in Vyavahara also. I do talk about the situations. I discuss the problems I have. At the same time, there's no fraction of a second you miss Ishvara Swarupam. You can always be in meditation. Once you understand the teaching, you will be always in meditation. You need not do meditation, you will be always in meditation. What is being meditation? Not being able to lose sight of Bhagavan is being in meditation. That is why Vedanta students should learn to be in meditation. They will be, in fact, the teaching itself will help you gradually to be in meditation. That is different. But here, doing meditation, not being in meditation. Doing and being here, not simply being. That is why here it is said, pratimopasanam, pratikopasanam, etc. are not for jnanam or moksha, but for mental preparation also, for a sadhaka. For other people who enters other ends, it is also means for accomplishing other ends, the time, material ends also. So, Bhagavan says here, now the question, it should be very clear, it is not compulsory. And Bhagavan says, how one should practice meditation, not one day, 2 days, not 3-4 days, 5 days a week, or once in a week, or once in a month. The practice of meditation must be a regular program. It means one must practice this throughout one's life. So throughout one's life, a person practices means it will be there until his last breath. Until his last breath, it will become his habit. What he practices throughout will become his habit, the proper habit. So it will be there even at the time of his death, even until his last breath. So such practice is mentioned in this verse. What Bhagavan says, sarvadvarani sayamya. So, when this meditator who practiced throughout his life, then what does he do at the time of death? It is now this verse, actually, he must have practiced meditation throughout. And because of his yoga balam, we already have seen that in the previous month, previous verse. Now he has that power of meditation and he's very focused and he's also devoted. Okay. He is bhaktiayukta. He has yoga balam. He has bhakti and he is also what? He is focused minded. He is free from distractions. Therefore, such a person at the time of death, what he does, sarvadvarani sayamya. No. He withdraws all his sense organs. Which means he keeps his eyes closed. He withdraws all his sense organs. Means his in sense organs are not involved in perceiving the external objects. He has sense powers, but they're not involved in perceiving the objects, which means he withdraws his attention, mental attention from the sense objects. Then all the sense objects, sense organs become closed. So sense organs themselves cannot bring things to you unless if your attention is taken away from sense objects, sense organs, then sense organs cannot function as, entrance gates. So the objects cannot enter. So he's talking about the person at the deathbed who has been a meditator and he withdraws his sense organs. When they are not used now. So sense objects are kept away. The sense organs are closed means sense objects are kept away. So the whole world is prevented from entering into one's mind. Then, manaha hridi niridhya. Manaha hridi niridhya means bringing one's attention to one's own attention of the mind to the mind itself. Bringing the attention of the mind to the mind itself means attention of the mind is not anymore with sense organs. Attention of the mind has been taken away from sense organs. Therefore, they're all closed. Now, the attention which has been brought away from sense organs is has to be placed somewhere. It is placed in the mind itself. And the mind, in the mind which is involved in, the mind itself means what? The mind is visualizing Bhagavan. So attention of the mind is brought to back to mind which visualizes the Lord. Which means attention of the mind is focused, placed upon the Ishvara's form which is visualized. Attention of the mind is placed on the visualized form of the Lord. Therefore, manaha hridi niridhya. It's called manasa hridi niridhya means placing the attention of the mind upon the object of meditation, which is the only object in the thought, which is only thought now. That's called placing the attention of the mind upon object of meditation in the thought, nirmoha thought, is called what? Manaha hridi niridhya. Don't think of something differently. So bringing the mind to the heart means what? Placing the attention of the mind upon the object in the form of a thought, which symbolizes Bhagavan, Ishvara. Then, pranaha should be, so pranaha murdhini adhaya means what? Again, bringing the prana to, the prana is there, it's wherever it is. The prana in between the eyebrows is called bringing the prana top of the head. So bringing the prana to top of the head means, why prana is brought to the top of the head here? Because sushumna nadi, you know, that is where sushumna nadi goes out. Sushumna nadi emerges, comes out on the top of the head. But prana, bring the prana to the top of the head means only a yogi knows how to bring the prana to the top of the head. Don't ask me. I'm not a meditator. I've never tried that. I'm interested in that also. But Shastram tells you as part of it I'm teaching you. So bringing the prana to the top of the head means that is where the Sushumna Nadi goes out. I mean opens out. Okay. Then yoga dharanam asthitaha. Then what happened now? Then a person should practice meditation. Begin to meditate. Keep all these things. So bring close the sense organs. Take attention to the sense organs. Pay attention upon the object of meditation. Then now keep the prana. Bring the prana in between the eyebrows. Bring the prana to the top of the head. Then one begin meditation. And here, that on what is the upas meditation here? Meditation discussed here is Omkara meditation. Pratika upasanam, I was called Omkara upasanam. So Bhagavan said how we should, it's only purely Saguna Brahma upasanam, Nirguna Brahma upasanam. Nirguna Brahma Upasanam, it is easier because you can do the Shravanam. repeatedly to understand, it is, you can dwell upon Swarupam. But Saguna Upasanam, here, it is all Vedic meditations. It is not advisable for the people who are not given to the Vedic studies, but here it is mentioned here. Okay, we'll see what is the meditation he practices, how you should prepare yourself for meditation said in the previous verse, and what one should meditate upon in the next verse. So Bhagavan Krishna also here, like other Upanishads, mentions the Omkara Upasanam. Om ityekaksharam brahma. See, three important things said before. That is for anything, not only for meditation, to focus upon anything, you have to do that. Withdraw your attention from sense organs. Focus attention upon object of meditation. These two things you have to do everywhere. Then bringing the prana to top of the head alone is not possible for you. Okay? Let me tell you next one. What is the meditation? Now, Krishna prescribes Pratika Upasanam, which is Omkara Upasanam, in this 13th verse. Om ityekaksharam brahma. Om ityekaksharam brahma. Vyaharan mamanusmaran. Om ityekaksharam brahma. Vyaharan mamanusmaran. Yaf prayatityajandeham. Sayati paramam gatim. Yaf prayatityajandeham. Sayati paramam gatim. Om ityekaksharam brahma. Vyaharan mamanusmaran. Yaf prayatityajandeham. Sayati paramam gatim. So here, now Bhagavan again says, Om iti yeka aksharam brahma vyaharan mam anusmaran yaha deham tyajan prayati saha paramam gatim yati. Now what does he do? This person who practiced meditation throughout the life, now at the time of death, yogi has this facility. It is possible for a yogi to leave his body like this. And is it possible for me, if you ask me? It is possible for you, for me, for anyone, if we practice meditation throughout the life. Throughout the life we practice meditation, then at the time of death, you can bring the prana to your top, to the top of the head. You don't need to bring the prana to the top of the head every day. Every day, withdraw your sense organs and focus attention upon object of meditation. So with the then three aspects, with the devotion, the focus attention, play attention on the object of meditation. If a person practices meditation throughout the life, at the time of death, it is possible for a meditator. What is possible? He can withdraw his senses from the sense organs, sense objects, withdraw attention from the sense organs. He can focus his attention upon the object of meditation. Then he can also bring the prana in between the eyebrows, and he can also bring the prana top of the head when at the time of death. One must have practice that, one must have that yoga balam, the power of meditation. Without having practiced meditation, what power can you have? How can you bring the prana to the top of the head? You cannot do that. So you must have the yoga balam. You must have the achalam manaha. You must have then achalam manaha, then bhaktihi, then yoga balam. Then it is possible for the person to bring the prana to the top of the head. He says, this person who at the deathbed now, he is a meditator, yogi. Om iti vyaharan. Uttering omka. Vyaharati means utters. Vyaharati. Look at this. We is a prefix, A is a prefix, Harati is a verb. We are Harati. You are make out sandhis, okay? We plus A plus Harati, Vyaharati means utters. Vyaharan, uttering, saying, Gachan, Patan, like it, that Vyaharan. What does he utter? Om. 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 So uttering Omkara, we are Om Ityaharan. What is Om? He says, Aksharam Brahma. Aksharam Brahma. So, Aksharam Brahma here means what? This Om is a thing, but Om is a symbol of Brahma. Om is the sound symbol of the Lord. Brahma. It's what she says. It's a single syllable. It's a monosyllabic expression, which is the name of, which is the sound symbol of the Lord, Saguna Ishvara, Brahma. So he, Brahma means Sagunam Brahma. Sagunam Brahma means Ishvara. So the name, sound symbol of the Lord, Brahma. So uttering this Omkara, and which is what now? Yekam Aksharam, Yekaksharam. Omit Yekaksharam Brahma. Yeka Aksharam means it is one syllable, single syllable. Aksharam means, Aksharam also means letter. Aksharam means syllable here. Ekaksharam is a single monosyllabic expression. Om. Ekaksharam, monosyllabic expression. Om, which is sound symbol of the Lord, Sagunam Brahma Ishvara. And uttering that Om, great Om. Okay. Vyaharan. When you're uttering the Om, what are you thinking of? As you're uttering Om, the sound symbol of the monosyllabic expression, which symbolizes the Lord. And remembering Bhagavan, Maam Anusmaran, thinking of Bhagavan, uttering Omkara, thinking of something else, if you utter Om, it will not work. Okay? You are meditating upon Ishvara, you are thinking of Ishvara, thinking of Bhagavan, by uttering Omkara. We also utter Omkara, every class we say utter Omkara so many times. But what are we thinking of? We do utter Omkara every day in the class. But Om, when you utter Omkara, thinking of Bhagavan continuously, remembering Bhagavan, Maam Anusmaran. You continuously remembering only Bhagavan, uttering Omkara, the monosyllabic expression, which symbolizes the Lord, the whole Brahma. Yaha deham tyajan prayati. Leaving the body, tyajan deham. Leaving the body, uttering Omkara, leaving the body, one who departs. Yaha prayati. He who departs, leaving the body, uttering Omkaraha, saha, paramam gatim yati. He attains the absolute goal, ultimate goal, which is Bhagavan. Already it was said, he attains Bhagavan, repeats, already once it has been said, same thing Krishna repeats here. If a person who practices Omkara Upasanam, uttering Omkara, thinking of Bhagavan, person practices meditation, Omkara Upasanam. See, Omkara is used for contemplation, is used for meditation also. When you use for contemplation, you have to see the meaning of the word Omkara. Without knowing the meaning of the word Omkara, you simply repeatedly uttering Omkara, you focus attention on Omkara. It is the Saguna Upasanam. If you know the meaning of Omkara, it is Nirguna Brahma Upasana Nididhyasana. Contemplation. Without knowing the meaning of Omkara, you simply utter Omkara and withdraw attention, sense organs from everywhere and focus attention only upon Omkara, practice meditation throughout life, and then you have Yoga Balam, you have achalam manaha, you have dida bhaktihi, and then hacha yogi, at the time of death, he can withdraw his sense organs from the sense organs. He has focused attention upon object of meditation and remembering Bhagavan. Wait, object of meditation, Bhagavan here. Remembering Bhagavan, uttering Omkaraha, he himself can bring his prana to the top of the head and leaving the body, uttering Omkara, one who departs, and such a person attains what? Kramamuktihi. Attains Ishvara. Attaining Ishvara, I told you, attains, goes to Brahmaloka, attains Ishvara, etc. It is said. You cannot understand what it is. What is attaining Brahmaloka? Attaining Hiranyagarbha? You can understand. You can only understand this much. This person, like the meditator, like other simple people, does not assume a body. Again, he is not born. What happens to him then? Because of his, he remains in subtle form. And there, when he is in subtle form, again, somehow, he is blessed to be contemplative. He attains jnanam. He attains moksha, remaining in subtle form. And that moksha is called kramamuktihi. And that's called what? Actually, he accomplishes the absolute end in terms of moksha, which is said to be attainment of Ishvara. Attainment of jnanam, attainment of Ishvara, attainment of moksha, this attainment of freedom is the same. Is Kramamuktihi. But the person who attains Kramamuktihi does not, cannot enjoy Sadhyamuktihi or Jivan Muktihi. Whereas the person who attains these two Shravanam, who can do Shravanam and Nidhyasanam, alone is capable of attaining Sadhyamuktihi, Jivan Muktihi here itself, in this life itself. Is it clear? These are not for how to. One must be, even if you do not do Shravanam, you understand Ishvara Swarupam. If your devotion is so very firm and you are thinking of Bhagavan all the time, and any given form you're meditating upon all the time, especially Omkara Upasana, also you're meditating upon Om, 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 Om all the time, and definitely such a person, and he must have the meditative power, that he can bring his prana to the top of his head and he can attain this Kramamuktihi. That is called attainment of Bhagavan. And that Kramamuktihi also, it is imperishable. Why? Whether you attain the moksha kramashaha or sadhyaha. Attain moksha immediately right now or later on, the moksha attained is always everlasting. Omityekaksharam Brahma Vyaharan Mamanusmaran Yav Prayatitya Jandeham Sayati Paramam Gatim. I'll talk about it more about it next class. Suppose, imagine, Krishna says in the eighth chapter, at the time of death, uttering Omkara, if I think of Bhagavan, if I'm there, is it possible for me also to attain moksha? No. If you practice meditation throughout your life, if you have yoga balam, power of meditation, then you can bring your prana to the top of the head, then you can withdraw at the time of then. If you utter Omkara, uttering Omkara, you can attain Kramamuktihi. Go to attain Ishvara, which is imperishable. But the whole life I never meditated. At the time of death, can I say Om, 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 Om? You can say Om, so you have still pam punyam. Definitely it will do good for you, but not Kramamuktihi. Is it clear? Any doubts, any questions? Only Nidya, meditation, Kramamuktihi. That's it. With the Purushartha Nischeha, one must be praying to Bhagavan, worshipping Bhagavan, one must be meditating upon Bhagavan, in some form or the other, without even knowing Ishvara Swarupam. That's why bhakti is always emphasized. Bhakti is enough or not? Why can't I attend Bhagavan? People ask like this. I want Bhagavan. That desperate desire to know Bhagavan is there, then that is bhakti. Doesn't matter, you do not study Shastram also. Then if you worship, then definitely that will result in attainment of moksha. But people who attend Kama Mukti cannot come back and talk about it. Because they cannot assume a body again. So you cannot again relate to the world. Bringing the prana in between the eyebrows, bring the prana to the top of the head, etc., are possible only for the person who meditated throughout the life. And it is supposed to be done only at the time of death, not always. Always, what he does is withdraw his sense organs and focus attention on the object of meditation. That's all. Only at the time of death, he is capable of bringing the prana to the top of the head or top of to the between the eyebrows. That for which one must have power of meditation, yoga balam. To have yoga balam, one must have been a meditator throughout life. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.